Start your engines. Man, after stuff like that. So we're going to get into it. You ready?
Yes.
If there's any doubt in your mind that there's a risen Savior out there, he is alive and well, and he is here with us, and he delights in the praises of his people. So let's get into just that. Lord, you are surrounded by your creation. Lord, I know you're pleased with the singing of your creation, how we worship you. Lord, I thank you for a time of communion, how we can get just real with you and remember what you have done and ask for forgiveness and get ourselves in right relationship with you. It is our desire to do that today. Lord, thank you for the creativity and videos like that raise the level of our awareness of who you are so we can live a life that honors you, and that people will know who we worship. That is you, Jesus, King of Righteousness. We are so grateful for that. In a place where we can come freely and walk in freely, let us never lose sight of that and take it for granted. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Hey, great to be with you on this Father's Day. And I'm going to use this passage. I've got several passages, so grab your insert there. We're going to jump into that. There is a great line that I enjoy repeating quite often. It's who you know. It's who you know. And knowing who this Jesus is in our lives makes all the difference. In my job with FCA, I throw out these. A couple days ago, we were in Visalia, having a barbecue, and had a list of all these schools where we did not have FCA on that campus. And there was maybe 25 of us there having a tri-tip and enjoying that time. And I said, I need you to pray over it because somebody knows somebody on those campuses. And I know that there's somebody there that's waiting to jump in the game, right? That they want to make a difference. And how to do that in FCA is a great way to do that. It's who that you know in it. And a million times over, we know who this risen Savior is, this Jesus. So when we go to him in prayer, because that's my big thing, men, I want to talk to you about prayer and how we need to do this more than ever before, how we need to get after it. Man, you look at the newspaper, you turn on any television station right there, and you're seeing what's going on. It is absolutely, we need to cry out to this living Savior and ask for help and confess our sin. The days of now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. No, we need to get after it. We need to be knowing who he is personally and getting after it and calling after him, because he is able to provide. He is able. Nobody else is. So today I have 3 points, so check your insert, and here we go. So we're going to jump into Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah, his just getting the report back and how his friends are making his way back to Israel, and it wasn't good. And he's about to go back himself. And I want you to hear the tenor of his prayer. I want you to hear it as he is praying. And I want to kind of unpack how he does this and how we can use this in our lives. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and were back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates have been burned with fire. Verse 4. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept for some days and I mourned and I fast and I prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who kept his covenant of love with all those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins that we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed your commands, decrees, and laws that you gave your servant Moses. Verse 8, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commandments, then, even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from them and bring them to a place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. There, they are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was a cupbearer. Throughout this book of Nehemiah, when you read this, and I encourage you to do just that, you're gonna see these types of prayers getting after it. There's no pretense. He is going to the God of heaven, God of creation. He is going right to him. God, you're an awesome God. My friends, who else are we gonna go to? Who else are we gonna go to? Who else are we gonna put our trust in? Who else are we gonna bend the knee to? No one is worthy of that. We have seen too many people, perhaps neighbors, family members, are putting their trust in themselves. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna pull myself up out of this, whatever it is. I can do this. It's all my own. I'm autonomous. I'm a law unto myself. Man, this is bigger. What God is calling us to do, he wants us to do it. And he is not far away on some distant galaxy trying, you know, that, no, he is near. He is near us. So unpacking it, I want you to see what he talks about. I mean, I'm not sure if you've ever prayed the Acts prayer, but every time I get a chance to speak about prayer, I wanna put that in. So put that in, Acts, A-C-T-S, somewhere on your bulletin or your insert. And in this, I can just totally see Nehemiah spending time in this. A stands for adoration. Just wanna spend some time adoring God, recognizing who he is and how important that is. The time that I spent in that, because I was challenged like I'm challenging you today. Spend that time. Man, prayer is not a time of just, I'm gonna spend 2 minutes here and I'm gonna finish the rest driving. If you're a driving prayer warrior, I think you're cheating yourself. Spend that time. Jesus got up early in the morning and spent time with his Father. Whatever that focus is. A stands for adoration, letting him know who he is. God, you're awesome. You're amazing. You're a Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You're a Jehovah Shalom, God of my peace. You're a Jehovah Tishkadu, God of my righteousness. You are all these things. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are all these things. Now, we tell him this, right? Not because he has Alzheimer's or anything, but it's for us. We need to remember who he is. He's not up there, oh, thanks, Lydia, man. You told me who he is, thank you. Oh, I mean, I just remember. No, he does that. He wants us to sing his praises. Oh, thank you. And how important that is, that we say that he is amazing. And we remember that. That is for confidence, because you're praying about somebody who's done amazing things with that. C is confession. Man, that's that, you know, for a guy, I mean, that sometimes can be tough. And I mean, it's, you're looking at one right here. You sometimes try to cover some things up, and I'm good. No, you know, you have a little, you know, passive aggressive. God, I'm okay with that. It's justifiable. No. We gotta get real, like Pastor Dave was talking about when we had some time of communion, right? We need to confess. We need to let it all hang out, right? So that time of confession, there's two ways of doing this. One, God, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for those thoughts, those actions, those words that I spoke to that person that drove in front of me this morning at 7:30 that I was not too pleased with. Confession's good, right? Exactly. And to get right with that. And the other confession is this: God, I cannot do this life without you. I cannot. In my job, I cannot do this. This territory that he has given me, this responsibility that he has given me, I cannot do this. Man, he just reflected. There's two things that's a constant thread throughout the Bible, right? Humility and pride. Right? God hates the proud, but he's going to lift up the humble. And we come to him in humility. God, I recognize, I confess, I cannot do this. I can't be the husband that you want me to be. I cannot be the father that you want me to be. So I need you to do something to help me. I mean, I have responsibility, but I'm going to lean on him like it's all on him. So adoration, confession, thanksgiving. I mean, I crack up every time Pastor Bob tells that story when he's in college where that guy with the high squeaky voice, his professor, whoever that was, and just challenge him every time to write down lists, write a list of what you're thankful for. Spend that time. Don't think that that's just some time of, whatever, meaningless. God, thank you. Lord, thank you that you have provided snow and it's still packed up there. And for the water that you provided and how you are so good to us. And thank you for taste buds and the ability to smell and laughter and tears and family. And just let it go down. Because, I mean, like Becca said when we first started, let that gratitude will well up in you. Wow. How great that is. I don't know what condition you are when you came in here today. I don't know if you had a fight with somebody or whatever the case may be, but when you start, you know, writing lists out of gratitude, it's like, wow, how important that is. And then S is supplication, and that's asking. God, I need you for this. And it's so important that we don't start there, because if you're anything like me, I'll start there. God, here's my list. Bye. I'll see you at the end of the day. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You see that throughout when Nehemiah is talking here. And how important that is. I mean, and write it down. I want to encourage you to get a prayer journal and write it down. You're looking at a guy who's 6'6", 306 pounds. Did I say confession is good for the soul? Yeah. I'm trying, okay? But I love to eat. Anyway, I digress. Write it down, right? Has anybody ever had a problem with somebody before, like an issue, like, oh yeah, look at all you saints out there, whatever. Remember, lying's a commandment. Okay, anyway. So I was, years ago when I was working here and so forth, I had an issue with somebody on staff, you know, and Pastor Bob knew it, and he called me in, and he says, you know what, you know, you have an issue with this one person, right? And I'm like, yeah. And? Well, dude, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm going to challenge you to do something. And as an athlete, you know, or a former athlete of 100 years ago, you know, it's like, you know, all right, I got you. I can size it up. I'm going to size up a challenge. He's like, all right, I want you to pray for him. Oh, are you kidding? No. Right? It was my line. It's like, okay, if you're serious about your Christianity, that's what you need to do. Because Jesus says, pray for your enemies. I mean, it just fell out. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? No. In my head, I did. I tell you what, that person is on page one of my prayer journal. His initials are Bob Fuller. So... I'm going to put it right there. If Bob's in the room, Bob would attest that we had some disagreements in the past, haven't we? Man, he is right here. I want you to pray for people. And you got to spend time doing it. This is not just a drive-through prayer thing, you know, getting your Dutch Bros or whatever. Write it down. Write down the dates. Write down the situations. Write down all those things. Write down how God has provided. Write that stuff down. And I've got something else in here that Pastor Bob gave us September 11th of this past year. And I'm not sure if you remember it. But there was an election that was soon coming. And I don't know if you've, I don't know, you may not, you may be oblivious. There's a little bit of tension in this country in regards to our leaders in office and so forth. And I tell you what, this man, Pastor Bob, he prays and he challenges his friends to pray. And so I cut that thing out, and it's right there in my prayer journal right in here. Why should I pray for my leaders? And I'm going to ask Nicole Roberta really nice to put that on the website just so you guys can download it. Because we're going to be praying for our leaders. Who, if us as Christians are not praying for our leaders, who is? Right? If we're not choosing our words and praying, oh God, help President Trump to accept wise counsel. Teach our leaders to trust in you. Protect our leaders. Down all the way through prayer. I'm just asking God to do something incredible. Men, we're first. God calls us to step up. We are first. He calls us to do that, to lead the way. And how important that is. Second point. How big is the God that you pray to? How big is he? Hopefully you think he's ginormous. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 3, And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Man, we need to pray these resolute prayers like this. Man, you ever listen to your kids pray? You ever catch them praying when they're a group? You wanna see what legacy looks like? Because they're gonna sound like you when they pray. They're gonna sound, I actually love it. And he's sneaking in to hear my boys pray in a group because they believe this God is big and he could do immeasurably more. Right, it says in 1 Peter chapter 6, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That word cast in the Greek is translated hurl. I'm going to let it rip. Here it is, God. I'm going to give it to you. God's not, no, just give it to me in bite size. I can't handle too much. No. Bring it. You're my kid. Bring it all. He can handle it. Because he is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever hope or imagine. Well, I love this. Just in that same vein is Joshua. He's in battle. And you can look it up, write down Joshua chapter 10. It's not going to be up here. But in Joshua 10, right, he's in battle. And it's a dogfight all day long. And I love this, the audacity of this prayer. Man, I want you to catch the absolute imagery in this. And so when you're praying, right, that, man, let's go. He is in the battle, and he knows he does not have enough time. And he looks at the sun, and he sees where it's at, and he estimates what's happening, and he just cries out to the Lord and asks the Lord to stop the sun from moving. Who does that? Right? Do we pray that way? Oh God, bless. Only you, God, can move the heart of my neighbor, of my child, of my family. God, I need you to intercede. You can do absolutely anything. And I'm asking you to do just that. Man, I love it. I mean, God is flattered when we come to him that way. It's not like, oh, I don't know if you can do this, God. I don't know, it might be out of your league. Above your pay grade, I'm not sure. It's when Moses asked for all that food, right, for his guys. And he's like, is my hand too short? Can I not provide? Did you not see what I did? Man, I want to challenge you to get after it and know who this God is that you're praying to, because he is huge and he wants us to lead in this regard. Man, he's flattered when we do it. I mean, I get a taste of it when people come to me and say, hey, we're looking to have this FCA thing or this sports thing. Could you ask Derek Carr if he can come out? I'm absolutely flattered, right? I mean, we're like this, you know what I mean? It's, yeah, I'll just get him on the phone, you know, no big deal. We're going to have, but that attitude that God, I'm going to come to you as a child. I'm going to come to you, oh God. because who else can we go to? Third one is this. Third and final is this. This is your attitude. Attitude and effort. Attitude and effort. Take a look in, Jesus tells this story in Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray and not give up. He said in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what the people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but he finally said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care for what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come back and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth?" See, I want you to hear the courage and the tenor in that prayer, in that story. I want you to imagine this widow coming and asking for justice here from that unjust judge. Man, our attitude, we just need to be pounding. "God, I need you. You're the only one. You're the only one, and I'm going to wait upon you." Now, hear me. This is not a name and claim it seminar here, okay? Right? He's going to answer three ways, right? Yes, no, and wait. We're going to pray for his will. If it's his will, okay, I'm going to go right after that. I'm not going to claim anything else. God, you are sovereign, and I'm going to go after you, and I'm going to ask you to do these things, and it's going to be all for your glory. Man, my prayer is, there's going to be a ton of kids that are leaving this church today, right? That we should be on our knees this week. Oh, God, would you stir in the hearts of these young people, and they may they come back changed, that they be aflame when they get to their high school campuses, junior high campuses, and elementary school campuses, that they may know you with a passion. That's going to change lives. That's the attitude. That's the grit that we're looking to do. Why should I do this? Why should we do this? Because he's loved us. Oh, he has loved us so much. All right. Let me pray for you. God in heaven, you are an awesome and amazing God who is alive and well, who abides in the presence of his people. Lord, I'm so grateful for all the people that are in this room. May we be the game changers that pray to you, oh God, that makes a difference. May we pray like we mean it. May we know how big you are. May our attitude be in confident humility, and our effort be relentless when we're seeking to have your name glorified, to make your name renowned. Bless these men as they are praying for their families. Bless these men as they are leading their homes. May they know you, and may their children know you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. We pray this in his name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.